This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
Satan hindered us. Satan has hindered us. In verse number 18, I'm going to read one verse. Well, let's read in verse number 17. And then verse number 18, I'll put up for you. The Bible says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again." Paul said, "I wanted to come see you so bad." He said, "I had a plan in my soul. I had a direction in my heart. I had something I wanted to do." My God, I feel this in my soul right now. He said, "I had it all going in the right direction, but Satan hindered us." He said, "We were marching, we were walking, we were going, we had it together, but Satan hindered us." He said, "We had our thoughts, we had everything the way it ought to be. God was working." He said, "We were on a ship getting ready to go and come see you, but Satan hindered us." Brothers and sisters, I wonder if we comprehend how often that Satan hinders us. I wonder if we process how many times in a day when we have got our mindset, we have got our thoughts set, we've got our spirits set, we've got everything going in the right direction, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, something comes our way. A plan is broken. An idea is broken. A procedure that we had in mind, it was broken. Do we just throw that up and say, "Well, I guess it wasn't in the cards for me"? I can't tell you how many times I could apply this to 1,000 situations. There have been times when I have said, "Lord, I'm going to get up at a certain time and spend this amount of time walking with you and praying before I've got to go do this. And I know if in order to get up that early, I've got to go to bed at a certain hour." And yet things happen. That's the night the kids act like they're born from the pits of the damned. I mean, that is the night that the devil himself is their father. I mean, they act like demons. They won't go to bed. They won't listen. They won't do anything. And it's 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock before I get into bed. And I mean, I think, "Lord, how in the world? I had a plan." You know what that is? We just think that the kids are acting like demons. Brothers and sisters, we laugh about stuff like that, but it is Satan that has hindered us. Ladies and gentlemen, several years ago, our nation was on a track, and it looked like God had given us a space of grace, but we have felt nothing over the last several years but torment after torment after torment. We've had obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. We've had problem after problem after problem, and we look and we just want to give up the fight. We want to say, "We're not doing this anymore." You make videos and you try to do right, and you put things out there and you try to do right. We preach on the TV and we try to do right, and yet we get this and we get that threat, we get this hate mail and that hate mail, we get this person that says, "I don't want to be around you," and we just say, "Well, I guess God doesn't want us." No, what we've got to understand is when a dream is put in our soul and a direction is put in our life, and when all of that is going in the right direction and it just stops out of nowhere, it is not God that has stopped that thing. It is Satan that has hindered us. Brothers and sisters, we are too easy to put our hands up in the air and just assume something is the will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Bible says that Jesus set his eyes as a flint to the cross, why do you think he had to set his eyes as a flint to the cross? Because the devil was doing everything in his power to keep the Lord Jesus from marching up Calvary's hill and not getting on that cross. Brothers and sisters, too many times I've tried to set out doing things with my kids, and we've had things and obstacles coming our way. It's Satan that has hindered us. How many times in our marriage are we trying to go in a direction and we say, "Lord, I'm going to get out of debt here. I'm going to help this missionary there. I'm going to support this system over there." And that's when the air conditioner goes out. That's when the car breaks down. That's when everything goes haywire. And you all are looking at me like this doesn't happen to you. You know I'm telling you the truth. It's not because God is testing our faith. It's because because we have put our eyes on the master and we've decided, I'm going a little bit further with God. I'm walking a little bit harder with God. I'm doing something a little bit more. And the devil puts a bullseye on our backs and he says, oh no, honey, you won't be going in that direction. Paul said, I wanted to come see you. I wanted to walk with you, Thessalonians. You've been a blessing to my soul. You've been an encouragement to my heart. But it was the devil that kept me from coming to see you. It is Satan that has hindered us. Now, brothers and sisters, you may as well not look uncomfortable. I'm just telling you right now, too many times, we've got to stop chalking things up. We've got to set our eyes like a flint and say, God, unless you stop me, I will not be stopped. Unless you hold me back, I will keep on going. I will not be deterred. I will not look to the right hand. And in our nation and in our churches, it's getting ready to get really hot in our nation. It's getting ready to get really hot in our churches. And I'm going to tell you what God's going to do. He's going to purify his church, and he's going to let the real ones rise up, and he's going to let the tares move out to the side. You say, are you afraid of the heat? No, I can't say I want the heat. I can't say I want to deal with what we've got to deal with. But beloved brothers and sisters, may we be like the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, you put a call in my heart. You put a call on my life. You put an anointing in my soul, and I'm moving forward, and I will not be deterred. I will not be hindered by Satan himself. Over the last several weeks, it ain't like that this morning. I'm feeling pretty good in the neighborhood today. But over the last several weeks and the months when we got back in the sanctuary, I would come in and I know that I was trying to walk in purity. I'm not a perfect person, but I was trying to honor God through my week. I was trying to walk with God. And I would come into the sanctuary when we first got back in here. And I mean, honey, I felt like I had a word from God. I'd met with the Lord that week. I'd gotten a word from another world. And I mean, it felt like as soon as I opened up my mouth, it felt like I was climbing uphill both ways. It was no liberty. There was no freedom. There was no ability. I felt like I kept hitting roadblocks. I felt like, and people were listening. You all were a blessing to preach to. But if you've never been a preacher, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Have you ever dealt with, let me put it to you like you don't understand. Have you ever dealt with your youngins and you know what you're saying's right, but they look at you and it goes no further than that right there? That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. And I looked and I said, God, I need to know, because there's two times in a church when that'll happen. Number one, if there's open known sin in the church and there's unconfessed sin among God's people and people know about that sin and the church won't deal with that, God will lock that thing down. God will hinder that thing up. He won't let there be liberty. He won't let there be power. He won't let there be unction, because God doesn't dwell in dirty vessels. And I said, Lord, you know if I knew about sin, Lord, you know if we knew about anything like that in the church, we'd deal with it so it wasn't sin. And God brought my heart to this scripture. That whenever you and I gather together, many of you when you pray, many of you when you read your Bible, you try to live for God, and it's just like you're taking a Massey Ferguson with no diesel in the engine, and you're trying to pull it uphill both ways. It's exhausting. And it makes you want to just give up and throw in the towel and say, Lord, there's no point in doing this. There's no point in acting like I'm just done. You've got to understand, it's not God stopping you. It is Satan that is hindering you. Now, here's the best part about this. The best part about this is there is victory. But in order for us to get victory, there's going to be a lot of warfare. The two things, like I said, that'll lock it down is open, unconfessed sin and demonic oppression. And the church of Jesus Christ is dealing with demonic oppression like we have never dealt with before. Our nation is dealing with demonic oppression like we have never dealt with before. The forces of hell are rising up and they're fighting as hard as they can. And the true God called born again believers, you and I that have really been blood washed, you and I that are truly trying to walk with God, we're not in this thing for entertainment. We really want to do what God wants us to do, and we want to love people. And we want to encourage people. And we want to see them brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is not going to be happy with that, because there is that great falling away in the church. Therefore, he doesn't have to pick on a whole lot of churches, but he can hone himself in on so many of us. I look at the people in our government and I say, thank God for godly people that love God. But we've got to realize those people are under attack. Those people have come under oppression. Those people are the ones that are really fighting. It's not because that he doesn't have have anybody else to pick on. But when the devil's running the show, he's going after the people that are trying to upset it. It's not that God is mad. It's that Satan has hindered us. And the whole time this thing stays locked down, you know what we do? We say, God, why are you so upset with us? God, why won't you help me? God, why have you abandoned me, brothers and sisters? How do you think we're still in the fight? It's because God's with us. It's because God's helping us. The reason the devil hadn't given us a KO lately or given us a TKO at all is because the arms of God are underneath us and the wings of the angels of heaven are girding us and the power of heaven is strengthening us. God is with us, but Satan is hindering us. Good news about this message, I only have 2 points. Bad news about each one of those points, I have 15 subpoints under each one, but we'll just go as long as I think my voice can hold out. Number one, here is my question. How does Satan hinder us? How does Satan hinder us? The answer to that is found in the 3 words there that we read. Number one, notice what it says. Who does it say hinders us? It doesn't say the demons hinder us. It doesn't say the devils hinder us. It doesn't say Lucifer hinders us. It doesn't say the angel of light hinders us. It says Satan hinders us. What does that word Satan mean? That word Satan, it means to be an accuser or a railer. Somebody that constantly comes against you. Now, a railer. We have demolished the English language. Country people, they used to say they slaughtered the King's English. I'm almost 100% sure now the universities and the colleges are the ones slaughtering the King's English. Listen, some of the text messages you all send me, I can't read half of what y'all are saying. Okay, let's help you right quick. This has nothing to do with Jesus, God, or anybody, but it's okay. It's not K. All right? K is a street in Washington. Okay is a response to you agree with what I say. All right? But we have slaughtered the language. So whenever these words pop up in preaching or in the Bible, we don't understand them. We don't comprehend what they mean. How many of you can remember, if you've ever studied warfare or anything like that, do you remember what was called a rail gun? A rail gun was something, and it was just one, 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 just right after another. It never stopped. It was just da, 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 just over and over and over. And whenever it says that Satan is an accuser, a railer, that is what he does. You see, Satan doesn't come at us with big bear attacks. Satan doesn't come at us with big shark attacks. He comes at us with what Preacher Lemons used to say, with tiny minnows. It's not the big thing that gets us. It's the nonstop nature of the little thing that tears us down. That's how Satan operates. Brothers and sisters, it's not that Satan just sends somebody your way and it's so big and great and grand that you just cave to it. It's the everyday occurrence. It's the everyday nature. It's one thing after another thing. How many preachers have quit the ministry because they had an affair? There have been some, but more preachers quit the ministry because every day and every hour and every moment and every second they're overtaken and they're overwhelmed and they're overrun. It's the constant nature of Satan, and that's what he's doing to you and I. That's what he's doing in your life. Mother, when you wake up every day and you've got to raise those youngins or you got to raise kids and go to work, the devil telling you day after day after day after day, you're not enough. You'll never accomplish it. You'll never see it done. You'll never have those kids turn out right. You've got too much on your plate. You've got too much going on. You're not making enough this. You're not contributing enough of that. It'd be one thing if the devil just told it to you one time. Lord God, I feel preaching my soul right now. It's one thing if it just came one time, but it doesn't just come one time. It comes day after day after day after day. And you know the problem with the devil? The devil has gotten in his mind and he knows how we operate. He knows that if he tells us a lie long enough, we'll believe it. How many times does the devil come and say, you'll never make it, 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 you'll never survive, you'll never overtake, you'll never overtake, you'll never overcome, you'll never accomplish, you'll never be, that thing will never, ever happen. That word Satan, it comes from a Hebrew word, and that Hebrew word, it has the idea, it was an office in an army, it was called a forerunner. And here's what the forerunner would do. Whenever an army was coming to a city to overtake the walls, they would send a forerunner out in front of him. And that forerunner's job was to go around the wall of that city, and he would yell and scream in that land's language and tell them how big the army was that was on the way. He would tell them about their past victories. He would tell them about what they had just done. And the goal was for him to strike such fear in their heart that when the army arrived, those people on the wall would be so discouraged that they would give up their swords and would not even fight. That is what Satan does. He comes up to the wall of our soul and he's constantly yelling about how this one fell. He's constantly yelling about how that one fell. He's constantly telling us about how that didn't work out. He's constantly telling us about how many demons there are. He's constantly telling us about how much anxiety it's going to be. He's constantly telling us about how there'll never be victory. You know the problem with the devil though is he doesn't have an army behind him. Honey, he got defanged at Calvary and the claws came off of that bear and to ruby red cross of Christ. You say, what can he do? All he can do is he can huff and he can puff, but he cannot blow the house down. Christ, we've been built on the foundation of Christ Almighty, and we can't be torn down. We can't be broken down. We can't be beat down. We can't be overcome. We can't be overtaken. We've been built on a rock. Let the storms blow. Let the winds rock. We can't be shaken. We're built on Christ. Now, here's what you got to know though. The devil will be constant in his attack over and over. And that's how he'll hinder you. It's just constant. Never stops. The second thing he does is notice what it says. Satan hindered. He hindered. That word hindered, it was an idea. The Romans used to do it. Romans had this breastplate, I guess, would be the only word that we would kindly think of it as. It was an chest armor is what it was. That word hinder, it literally means to beat the chest. The word hinder, it means to beat the chest. And here's what they would do. If you were going in a direction and the Roman army was on the other end of that and they didn't want you to cross, if you were a Roman citizen, you had legal rights to traverse any Roman road and could not be hindered or stopped by anyone. So the Roman army could not legally stop you. But here's what they would do. If they didn't want you to pass, maybe something was going on. Here's what they would do. They would take the butt of their sword and on that breastplate they would beat the chest. And you can imagine the thud that that would make. Y'all know what thud means, don't you? All right, you're looking at me, kindly pick it at me, okay? Yeah, and they would just make this thud over and over. And when you were walking, what it would do is it would so startle you, you would forget you have a right to keep going. You have a right to be on that road. They couldn't stop you, but they could scare you and make you detour. And here is what Satan does. Satan so frightens us by beating on his spiritual chest. It's the devil's way of getting you and I to stop what we are doing and by making us afraid. He puts the fear of man in us. We're worried about what somebody's going to say. We're worried about what somebody's going to think. We're worried about what somebody's going to do. We're worried about how somebody's going to operate. We're worried about how they're going to undercut us there. We're worried about how they're going to undo us there. We're worried about this and worried about that. He brings up the fear of consequence. If I do this, then I'm going to have to deal with that. If I make this decision, then I'm going to have to deal with that decision. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest lesson I've ever learned in the ministry was given to me by an old-time preacher, and this is what he said. He said, always do what's right, always follow God, and let the chips fall where they may. We've got to stop being afraid and trying to politic our way around consequences and just say, God, help me to do what's right and let fall where it falls, be what it may. That's what Satan would do. He would bring in those fears all the time. Here's one some of you are dealing with right now. He'd bring in the fear of failure. He'd say, you can go ahead and do that, but you and I both know, we both know you'll never accomplish it. You can try to raise those kids this way, but you and I both know you'll never succeed. You can try to take that job path, but you and I both know you're going to end up failing. You can try to follow that dream, but it'll never work. You can try to walk with God. Well, you'll see how that will work out. But you know, the devil has forgotten that as the people of God, we've been given a divine right and a divine calling to walk this old time way. We've been given a divine deed to a mansion on the other side. We've been given a divine right to be made and conformed into the image of Christ. And the devil cannot stop that in us. He can't keep us from that. He can't upend that. All he can do is beat on his chest and try to scare us and get us off path. Can I tell you something? Satan has never hindered me so much that I could not keep going. Now, he's kept me from keeping on going, but he's never made it to the point where I could not keep on going. He so frightened me and said, there's no way I can ever do that. So here's the question. What's the third thing he does? Well, he accuses us, that's Satan. Then he makes us afraid. That's the hindering part. But then the us. Notice that word us. Now, I didn't do good in English. You all probably have learned that over the course of our 8 years together. Remedial English was not my specialty. And for that matter, neither was math and reading. I did excel at lunch. And every now and again, I would do the jump ropes. But that is about as far as it ever went for me, beloved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I did learn. Whenever the word us is used, it means that there's more than one of us on this journey. Now notice what Paul said. Satan didn't just hinder Paul. Satan hindered us. Now here's a question. And we've got to answer this question. Who did the devil use to stop Paul? Was it Paul? It could have been. Or could it have been somebody else? You and I have got to understand one truth. I can do a damage to my life, and those that I surround myself can do damage to my life. You and I do not live, breathe, and die in a vacuum. I can damage my marriage. My wife can damage our marriage just as much. I can damage this church, and the people in this church can damage this church. You've got to remember, brothers and sisters, it is so important that you find the right people to surround yourself with and make sure that you do not let them be used by the devil to hinder you. Two people that'll hinder you. Number one, it's people that you unequally yoke with. We are not to be yoked up with unbelievers. My association with the unbelieving group is to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people have yoked up with people that weren't saved, whether it was in business, whether it was in marriage, whether it was boyfriend or girlfriend, whether it was a best friend at school, and it was that person, and they may have done it with a good intention of trying to bring them up to their level. I have yet to ever find one person that was unequally yoked, that was ever brought somebody else up to their level, but they were always taken down to that other level. The Bible is clear. We are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If they are not saved, our one relationship with them is to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I eat chicken with them, I'm not eating chicken with them to fellowship. I'm eating chicken with them so that God can use me to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just stop, because y'all look like y'all eating this point up just mighty fine. Let me encourage young people, middle-aged people, and some of you that are older looking to get remarried. If they aren't saved and in a good gospel preaching church, you've got no business hooking up, yoking up, and being with that person at all. Boy, I can tell y'all really ate that up. I thought the mamas and daddies would help me just a tad bit more on that deal. They may marry them. They may yoke up with them. But it is against the rule and law of God Almighty. You got no business marrying, yoking up, doing business, being business partners, being best friends, being buddies with somebody that is not saved by the grace of God. It's just the facts. It's just the way it is. But there's another thing here that I've been really pondering over my little time in the ministry. It's not just being unequally yoked, but we also, as the people of God, have got to be very careful that we're not unevenly yoked. You know, they used to divide over denominational titles. If you were Baptist, you couldn't associate with a Methodist. If you were a Methodist, you couldn't talk to a Wesleyan. If you were Wesleyan, you wouldn't talk to a Lutheran, and the Lutherans didn't talk to anybody. And I mean, if you were Catholic, you couldn't talk to anybody. You know, the problem with all of these denominational tags is we are living in the age of the great falling away. And no longer can you gauge people by their tag. There are people in the Baptist church that are just as cold and dead and out there that are no closer to God than a Catholic used to be. There are people in the West. I preach Wesleyan camp meetings. That ought to be an oxymoron. A Wesleyan camp meeting? I preach Methodist camp. Some of you have been with me. It's one of the oldest Methodist established churches in the state of North Carolina. And I'll tell you how conservative. They're more conservative than most Baptists. They only use a King James Bible. Let me tell you how crazy they are. You can't look at these tags anymore, brothers and sisters. You better not think that just because somebody's a Baptist that they're going to have the same burden you've got. And too many times in churches, what will happen is just because somebody goes to church, we think, I'll get in business with them. They go to church. What could go wrong? No, 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 no. We're living in the age of the great falling away. You better learn their heart before you judge them by their tag. Those people in your job, don't listen to them. When they say, I go to such and such a church, you don't say check mark or X. You start talking to them just a little bit more. Can I help you out just a little bit more? If you really want to gauge it and don't want to spend a lot of time doing it, tell me what you feel. How do you feel about the book, the blood, and the blessed hope? If they say, well, my preacher talks about it, you're probably going to be in pretty good shape. If they look at you and say, I ain't never heard of any of that, you may as well want to go ahead and change the coffee cups or where you get drinking water at which fountain, because that may not be the right ship to jump on. Do you know why? All of that said, here's the reason why. There have been people that I have yoked up with along my way that did not have the same level of burden for God, and they used the church as just a token. It was just a business place. It was just a place to make relationships for their... And you know what they'll do? They'll drag you down and the church and everything around you. We've got to be far more discerning in our day, brothers and sisters. Discernment is the one thing that the Church of Jesus Christ needs in 2020 more than we've ever needed it. It's real discernment. How many of you had one of them old time, I can't get off this point, how many of you had one of them old time mamas, daddies, or grandmas, or grandpas, and I mean they didn't have high school education, maybe they did, but you'd say something and they'd say, I don't know about that. And they were always right. And now we've got college educations, we've got this, we've got that, and we can't even figure out which bathroom to go in. You know why? All of our funny jokes aside, you know why? We've lost spiritual discernment in our land. The people of God have been so hoodwinked into labels and fashions. I'm going to tell you what I've thought about. I've thought about doing this 1,000 times, but I feel like some of y'all would leave me. I feel like taking all the tags off of my life. I feel like taking all the labels off of my life. Take church off the name. Take Baptist off the name. Take Church Street off the name. And just put on a sign, Jesus. And if they come, wonderful. If they don't, we'll know where they stand. I thought about taking Baptist off my name, preacher off my name, pastor off my name, and just say servant and see where the people of God line up. Because whenever we get outside and need something more than Jesus or something more than a servant's heart, then we have lost the whole thing. And we've got to be far more discerning in our day and say, God, give me a discerning heart to know when it's you and when it's Satan that is hindering me. Yes, sir. Here's my last little thing. How do you defeat it? I'll give you 3 points real quickly. How do you defeat this spirit? How do you get past this? How many of you, you'd say, preacher, all right, look, I got it. I feel like Satan has done that at some point in my life, or maybe even now. I feel like the devil has hindered me. Let me see it. I've been there. We've all been, every single one of us have been there. How do you beat it? You find the answer to that in chapter number 3. Number one, you press on. Notice what Paul said in chapter 3 and verse number 1. He said, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Brothers and sisters, why do we let hindrances stop us? Paul said, I wanted to get there where you were at. I wanted to come to where you were, but I couldn't get there. Most of us, if he would have been the average Christian, he'd have thrown his hands up and said, I guess God doesn't want me to go to Thessalonica. I guess this isn't the will of God for me. I guess this is not what I need. I guess this is not what I need to be after. Paul said, no, no, not me. I've got my heart set on Thessalonica. I got my heart set on those Thessalonians. He said, I can't go. Timothy, come here, son. He said, get your bag. Pack your overnight bag. You got a little journey you're going to make. And when he gets over there, you know what he says? He says, Timothy, you go tell them about God. Go tell them about Christ. He said, why do I do that, Paul? He said, because that's what I was going to do. I was going to tell them about God, and I was going to tell them about Christ. You can do just as good a job. I don't know what you're dealing with, and I don't know where the devil has stopped you, but it's time for you to stop where you're at, take account of what you're doing, and say, Lord, I know you put that dream in my heart. I know you put that in my soul. I know that's been put in my mind. I know that's been put in my life. I will not be stopped. I may not be able to go down that road. I may not be able to get down that road, but God, by your grace and by your power, I'm going to get there. Come hell or high water, I'm going across. That's what we got to do. Just keep on pressing on. Man, it happened to me quite a bit ago. I know I got to go, but it happened to me a couple of months ago. You remember a couple of months ago we went on the NRB Dish DirecTV. And I knew it was God's will. I knew it. So we did it. Some stuff happened. We had to come off. And I just thought, God, why do you hate me so bad? Why is it every time I try to do something, it just goes awry? Well, I sat back, I prayed, and I thought, and I said, God, I need you to show me. And I got an opportunity down in a little station in Goldsboro. And we've added the ones up in Hickory, we've done all that, but this is just a tiny little station. I said, God, I'm not getting on that tiny little station. Lord, nobody watches that station. They're not even in high definition. We're going to have to reformat and do all this stuff. I'm not getting on that station. Lord, it's going to cause Heather to have to do more work. It's going to be more labor, and it's kind of throwing money away. We got on that, we did it, and God put it on my heart. I said, all right, fine, we'll just do it. So we just did it. You know, every single week, you all know how we do the tip. We give everything away, and God just meets the need. I don't know how he does it, but he just does it every week. Every single week, we get a CD request or a DVD request from one man in that area. I'd say his name, but he'll watch this whenever we put it up in a few weeks. Every week. He sends in. Sometimes he'll call, sometimes he'll email, and he'll say, could you send me that message? Could you mail me that message? And every week I'm reminded, if all I do doesn't reach but one, it's worth what I do. Now, what if we had just said, you know what, we're not doing that. We're just stopping. I guess God doesn't want it. No. When one door closes, look for a window. If the window closes, find you a vent pipe. If the vent pipe closes, get you a hammer and a chisel. If God's put it in your heart to get to the inside of that thing, and I mean you chisel away. If a door won't open, you find you a little cutout in the side, and you start hacking away for the glory of God. And if God wants you to stop, he'll stop you. But until God stops you, keep on pressing on. Number two, press on. Number two, believe on. Notice what Paul said in verse number two. He said, Timothy is our brother, our minister, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Now here's a question. Why was Paul going to Thessalonica? He says it in verse number two, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Why was Paul going to go to Thessalonica? to establish them and comfort them. But Paul's not going to be able to go. Now, Lord, you're not sending me. But you know what, Lord? Just because you don't use me here doesn't mean you can't use somebody else to accomplish the same thing. Paul said, evidently, Lord, there's something else you want me to do. Here's what I want you to understand. God doesn't need my little shovel. God doesn't need my little dump truck. God doesn't need my little ability. God has got all the ability in the world. And if it's God's will to shut one door, I just say, God, you use somebody else to walk through that and move down the way and let God open up another door for you. You've got to keep on believing. There's a word that we don't like to talk about because we think it throws us in some type of stereotypical camp. It's called the sovereignty of God. You know what that means in redneck North Carolina English? It means God's in control all the time, never not a time when God's not in control. There ain't nothing that happens today that God didn't know about. There's not nothing that happens today. I know that's bad English, but there's good preaching. That ain't nothing that happens today that God didn't have a clue wasn't going to happen. He knew it before it happened. He knew it when it happened, and he knew it after it happened. He knew when it was going to be. He knew how it was going to be, and he knew who it was going to be. Everything that happens, God knows it. Therefore, if it doesn't happen like we want it, we've got to understand it happened exactly like God wanted it. So you know what you got to do? You got to take your hands off and say, Lord, I still trust you. I still believe that your will be accomplished. Number three, I'll tell you what else you got to do. You got to stand on. You've got to keep on standing. Look at verse number 8. Paul said, for now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. We have created a generation of people that have zero backbone. None. We have created a generation of kids, teenagers, college kids, moms and dads, and I even think the grandmas and grandpas. If it is offensive in the slightest, we are quiet about it completely. You know what Jesus said? He said, I have come to separate the mothers from the fathers. I have come to separate the children from their parents. What does that mean? It means that what Jesus does and what he stands for is not going to be popular. Therefore, if it's not popular, do you think it's going to be liked? We are not living anymore in the generation of people that are going to love truth. They're not going to love right. I'm not talking about a bunch of stupid opinions, a bunch of ha-ha funnies here, I'm talking about truth. Right and wrong, up and down, left and right. They will despise it. They will hate it. They will call you every name in the book. They will tell you that you're a fearmonger or a hate monger. They'll call you a bigot. They'll call you homophobic. They'll call you any other phobic name. I honestly think they make up words now. And we, as the people of God, are going to have a heart full of love and a backbone like a saw log and say, come hell or high water, this is the truth and this is where I'm standing and it's right. Paul, Satan's hindered you. I don't care if Satan stands face to face with me. I'm not backing down. I'm not turning aside. I'm going to stand for Christ. I'm going to stand for right. Do you know why? Because I'd rather stand for Christ and have the masses leave me, but know that Christ was standing with me, than for me to sit down and sit with the masses and know that I'm fighting against God Almighty. Let us stand for truth, stand for right, and we'll stand with God.